This is the Full Press Colts Podcast with your host, Jay Stevens.
Ah, it feels good, oh so good, to be back with you today. Yes, this is another edition, a midweek edition of the Full Press Colts Podcast, and I am your host, Mr. Jay Stevens. We have a lot to get with you today, to pour into you today, to keep you up to date with things going on with your favorite team, the Indianapolis Colts. Talk about a little Philip Rivers, some things that he has done that have impressed me. Talk about compartment leg syndrome that has added another individual, another player to the injury list and report of the Indianapolis Colts. And then also looking at the secondary and talking about if what they have done, the changes that have been made, if we can expect them down the road, or if this is just kind of a thing we're looking at and seeing and experiencing due to the lack of competition or lack of opposition. Well, opposition's there, but they're not really opposing very strongly the defense of the Colts. We'll get to that very, very quickly. But as always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can listen to the Full Press Colts Podcast, either subscribe, rate, and review. Do all three. Helps the podcast grow and grow and grow. You can listen via the Full Press Coverage app or your Apple or your Spotify or wherever you get your fine podcast. I want to say, before we begin talking about Philip Rivers, I want to say thank you guys very much. Kind of reviving the podcast, coming back after a few months away, and already the downloads keep going up and up and up. Already, with just two episodes reviving between Monday's episode and the time of this recording, that Monday episode was already second in line most downloaded episodes in the history of the podcast, over 2,100 downloads at the time of this recording. Thank you. Literally, thank you. That means a lot to me. You guys are enjoying what is being put out to you over the first two episodes of reviving it. Trust me, three times a week, coming at you with full of energy, energetic, unbiased opinions, analysis of the Colts. And my promise to you is to always keep it real every time we meet. Speaking of keeping it real, we start today's episode talking about Philip Rivers and how he continues to impress me. Now, I know I hinted at it on Monday, but after going back and watching some of the film and watching some of the game against the Jets, one thing that I have noticed about Mr. Philip Rivers is from game one to game two to game three, he continues to he's learning to take what the defense is giving him. Now, that is also a little bit of Frank Reich and the offense helping Philip Rivers, finding out where Philip Rivers is good, where he's efficient, where some of his deficiencies are, as every player has things that they are really good at. They also have things that they are really bad at and things that are in between those two levels. Well, we all know one thing we expect from Philip Rivers is that he's going to throw the ball at times to places that he should not throw the ball. That's a given. That's expected. We saw that in the Jacksonville game, and I'm still wondering, even when I look at the two picks that he threw, what were you thinking? Then I realized that's the player that Philip Rivers is. Also, one thing that I'm still going to try to get used to, and you may be struggling like me, how in the world is a Colts fan supposed to get used to that throwing motion with just this many games? Now, granted, let's go through a whole 16. Let's say he plays so well this year and the Colts want to bring him back since Philip Rivers is under a one-year, $25 million contract. Let's say they bring him back again next year. Oh, we have another season of that odd, abnormal, weird, quirky throwing style? I believe we do. But you know what? You know what erases that out of our minds? You know what gets us to forsake and forget exactly what it is that's weird about Philip Rivers and said throwing style? Him winning, him playing better, him progressing and being a better quarterback week in and week out. We all talk about and harp on early on in the season, Jacksonville game, throwing the ball 46 times, and even the casual fan knows that's not a formula for success in this league. Now, despite that, how many times he threw the ball, how many times the Colts did not run the ball that game, the Colts still should have won that game. They are a better team than the Jacksonville Jaguars. However, Minshew did what he did. The defense secondary wasn't disciplined. I won't go as far. We'll talk about this later on. I won't go as far as to say the cover two scheme was soft and that was a problem. I just think you're playing undisciplined football as a professional against guys that are pros. that are doing the same things you guys are doing every single week, film room, practice, things of that nature. So you kind of expect for things like that to happen, to where you lay an egg. Well, the opposition that has worked so hard, prepare so long for that week, for that moment in the game, they're going to capitalize on your mistakes. But looking at the stats, the numbers, I know it's brief. I know it's early. I understand it's the first quarter of the season. I like to break the quarter, the season down into quarters, 4-4, 4-4. We are still in the first quarter of the NFL season, and I promise you, I try my best not to read into what is going on right now with the league. However, I can look at trends. And between the first game, Jaguars, Philip Rivers, 78.3% passing percentage, completion percentage, that is. The Vikings game, 76%. The Jets game, 81%. The thing that I like, and I believe the offense is trending to help Philip Rivers, and Philip Rivers is playing within himself, taking what the defense is giving him and not trying to make too many checkdowns and trying to audible at the line to get short and quick passes with the offense. Game number one against the Jaguars, 363 passing yards, 214 against the Vikings, 217 against the Jets. We also saw the Vikings and the Jets, there were more run plays called where you're seeing guys like Taylor, Hines, and even Jordan Wilkins run the ball more. And I believe that is the proper formula for success with this team. Amazingly enough, when you look at something else with this team, Philip Rivers' passer rating, 88.7 against the Jaguars, was the worst passer rating that he has had with this season. Now, remember, passer rating is not QBR. QBR goes up to 100. That stat, I believe, was started by ESPN during the mid-2000s, 06 or 07. Passer rating goes up to 158.3. So 88.7 passer rating, 97.8 against the Vikings, and then 125.6 with a total of 99.9 passer rating for the season. It also helps not just that the offense is aided in helping Philip Rivers to be the quarterback that he is. It also helps that he is not afraid to not, he's not focusing on one receiver right now. Even though T.Y. Hilton has been targeted the most of any receiver, wide receiver, tight end, or running back on the Colts so far this season with 17 targets, he is second in receptions this year, tied with second with Mr. Mo Alie-Cox. Mo Alie-Cox and T.Y. Hilton have 10 receptions. Nyheim Himes has 13 receptions so far, targeted 14 times. So we're seeing that Philip Rivers, the offensive coaches, they're helping him, aiding him where he is, where he may make mistakes. But also, Philip Rivers is realizing, I don't have to win this game with my arm. You're not going to ask me to win this game with my legs. I have backs behind me and a plethora and enough receivers around me to assist and to aid us win each and every game, from the guys and receivers that Philip Rivers is throwing to, for the leaders in receiving yards, who is Mo Alie-Cox with 181 receiving yards leading the team. T.Y. Hilton is number two at 133. He's not afraid to pass the ball around. He's not afraid to get to the open person. And he's not afraid that if you're going to go to the huddle and say, hey, I'm open, man, get me the ball, he's not going to get you the ball. Why? He's making the right plays. Now, down the road, there will be more stringent defenses. We're going to find one this weekend that is a better defense than I believe the Colts have faced. What will Philip Rivers do? How will he combat that defense? Come back for Friday. We will talk about that very thing, about how the offensive strategy, what it should be going forward in this weekend's matchup against the Chicago Bears. When we come back, we will talk about compartment leg syndrome, what this means for Michael Pittman Jr., and possibly who the next man up will be in the wide receiver room. Going back to the game against the Jets on Sunday, you may have noticed midway through the game, Michael Pittman Jr. left the game, and you may have thought, oh, it's a slight injury, or it's just rotation, or he just has something hindering him from going back in the game. Colts already have the game somewhat wrapped up by that point in the game, so there's no reason to try to push him to come back right now. Lo and behold, what happened the very next day was very unexpected. The reports that came out of Colts camp, the Colts facility, Frank Reich coming out and talking about compartment leg syndrome. And it's something that, well, none of us probably have heard about before. Even if you've been a sports fan your entire life, it's an injury that when you hear it, you wonder, what is this? Is this a foreign language? Are they making things up so another Colts player is not able to play? What is going on? Frank Reich had said this about this very injury, quote, He had the injury. Whatever happens when you get that, but the symptoms don't crop up until later. Later Sunday, the symptoms started cropping up in a more severe nature, and Pittman Jr. called the trainer. The trainer called the doctors. They met right away and determined you have to relieve the pressure, end quote. I am not trying to bring a parallel to what's going on in our country and try to say these are on the same level, but this sounds very familiar, very similar to a virus that's going around our country right now, COVID-19. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be the end of this man's life. I'm not saying it's going to be an injury like what we saw from Mr. Oh my goodness, Alex Smith, and the name escaped me, Alex Smith, where he literally had multiple surgeries and they thought they were going to have to amputate his leg and cut his leg off. Jay is not saying that. Hear me out. That is not what I am saying. But from the fact that happened, from what happened in the game, oh, a little sore, oh, a little nagging injury, I'll be fine after the game. To lo and behold, you're calling the trainer calls the doctors, and you're getting immediate surgery right away. Yeah, this is very, very odd, very scary. When you hear about it, you're wondering, is this man going to be okay? Compartment syndrome is caused when there's increased pressure in at least one of the compartments of the lower leg. The pressure in the lower leg compresses against different areas, including nerves, arteries, and veins. That sounds very, very painful, very, very unpleasant. And I am not a doctor. I am not one that's going to go out on a limb and say, oh, I know exactly what this is. Jay knows how to treat it. Surgery, he'll come back after week number 8 or week number 9. That's when he'll come back in the season. Guys, I would love for him to not miss a game. I mean, I love Michael Pittman Jr., what he brings to the team, his height, physicality, his hands. You see that inside-out route that he ran, I think it was in the first quarter, where it was phenomenal. I play a lot of NCAA Football 14. I don't really play Madden. That's another conversation for another day. But I do play video games, Xbox 360, NCAA Football 14, on my second copy, might I add. And in the game, that inside-out route that he ran, if you run it properly and called in the right moment of the game at the right field position of the game, can get you quick yards, get this ball moving quickly, get the tempo going and everything like that. Well, that's exactly what he did. I mean, I love the route running. The inside out run it route, it's you say it should be easy, but corners and DBs, the good ones, they'll find a way to nick that in the bud and end that very quickly. No, no, no. Michael Pittman Jr. got separation off the line, ran inside, ran the out move. Receiver was a couple yards away. Catch. Got some extra yards. Let's keep this ball moving. I do believe Marcus Johnson, we'll get to him in a second. I do believe that Michael Pittman Jr. in this injury, as Mike Wells of ESPN staff writer covering the Colts, he mentioned that Michael Pittman Jr. will be out indefinitely. That could be out for the season. That could be out for 8 weeks. That could be out, come back division around to the playoff. We just don't know. But as of right now, he is not ruled out for the season. He is not on IR. So there is still hope and belief that I believe around the bye week, after the bye week, Michael Pittman Jr. will come back. Now, at the same time, this is a tough blow for the team. You may look at the stats and say, Jay, Michael Pittman Jr.'s numbers aren't that hot. It's not like he's a guy that is someone that we desperately need. I think we do. I do believe as we go down the road and the Colts play better on defenses and the Colts opposition is way more fierce, I do believe Michael Pittman Jr. will be utilized and make big plays down the road. Yes, he's a rookie, but at some point you have to get somebody a three-receiver combination that you can trust. You got T.Y., but T.Y. doesn't really play like we expect sometimes. You got Zach Pascal, who continues to play well. You got Mo Ali Cox as a tight end making big plays. It was still is amazing that he is a leading he's a leader on the team in receiving yards. That was not the plan, not the game plan going into the season. It just shows earlier, like I mentioned, that Phillip Rivers does not care what your name is, what name's on the back of your jersey. He will get you the ball when you are open. A couple people that are on that are in line, next man up, as we say, that are possible to take over as wide receiver to replace Pittman Jr.'s production or his roster position or depth chart position, that is, on the team. Marcus Johnson, who was signed, I believe, after week number two to the practice squad, and then rookie Desmond Patton. Those are both a couple options to take over for Mr. Michael Pittman Jr. And I'm going back to a list of injuries that we have here on the Colts. Pittman Jr.'s injury just adds to a list that is getting longer. But as we're finding out, the next man up philosophy is seriously assisting this team in being better and better and better. Running back, I got a list for you. You may think it's not that extensive, but it is. Running back, starting running back, Marlon Mack out. Jonathan Taylor steps in. Malik Hooker, I keep wanting to say Marlon again for Malik. I don't know why. Malik Hooker out, starting free safety. Blackman in. Michael Pittman Jr. out, I just mentioned. You have Marcus Johnson or Desmond Patton, a couple guys that will spell and take over the routes and the depth chart position of Mr. Michael Pittman Jr. Paris Campbell out. Kamiko Touré out. Rock Ya-Sin out. Trey Burton out. We have guys that have been out who are supposed to and who will at some point play a big role with this team. At the same time, the next man up philosophy, as is preached, as we find out at every level of football, that is how the good teams win. One guy goes out, that is not the end of the road. Imagine Philadelphia Eagles just a few years ago, if Nick Foles wouldn't have come in to take over for Carson Wentz during that injury, and the quarterback, if Foles would have taken over, but he wasn't ready, wasn't mentally prepared, do you think that the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl? Probably not. We all know the quarterback that Foles is, but at that time, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. We saw that again last week with the Bears. Nick Foles was already ready, so he didn't have to get ready because he stays ready. We saw that. Guys in the Colts do the same thing. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Before we get talking about the Colts secondary and answer this question, is the Colts secondary fixed? I want to remind you to come back on Friday. We will give an offensive game plan and a defensive game plan for the Colts going up against their matchup this Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Be back right here, Full Press Coverage app or Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your fine podcast, you can find this one. We will give you a game plan for both sides of the ball and also a player to watch that may be a focal point in assisting and aiding the Colts, leading them to a victory. Is the Colts secondary back? As Colts fans, as a Colts analyst, you want to believe, you want to analyze properly what it is that the defense is doing, what it is that the team is doing that's led them to have 6 interceptions over the past 2 games. Gardner Minshew threw 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. And so over the last 2 games against Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold, you're saying, wow, 6 interceptions. We got 2 pick sixes last game, 1 in the first drive of the game by a phenomenal play by Xavier Rhodes. Then also later in the game, TJ Carey got a pick 6. I believe it's the first time he's been in the end zone, took a trip to pay dirt since his days at UMass about 6 years ago. And so you're looking at the stats, and I'll read the stats to you. Stats tell a portion of the story, but not the entirety of the story. TJ Carey has 2 picks on the season. Xavier Rhodes has 2. Kari Willis has 1. Kenny Moore has 1. I know off the top of my head, it's right in front of me. TJ Carey has a pick 6, and also Xavier Rhodes, only ones on the season. Both of those took place last week. And so on the surface, you're thinking 6 picks in 2 games. Wow, that's amazing. The defense is doing things that they haven't shown us in quite a while. They fixed everything that was going wrong in game number 1, and now they are taking the ball, getting interceptions, and going right into pay dirt. Might I remind you there we go, that was a thought that I was trying to get put into place. Might I remind you, Xavier Rhodes' second interception was blown coverage. That was it. It was a miscommunication. He was on the same man as I believe Kenny Moore was. Kenny Moore went down to the receiver, the name escapes me. Xavier Rhodes went down as well. Xavier Rhodes, man, was wide open in the end zone. Now, it took a good comeback recovery play by him. Sam Darnold threw the ball. Now, if he lofted it up just a tad instead of throwing it to at the same trajectory and same track that he did, it possibly could have been a different outcome. From an interception in the end zone with the Jets in the red zone, first down Colts going the other way, it could have been touchdown Jets, and the Jets would have actually put the Colts in a different predicament, different situation than they had put them in. But the cookie crumbled a different way, and we see that Xavier Rhodes fought back and was doing and made a phenomenal play when originally he did mess up and he botched the play, botched the coverage. One thing I will remind you as well, last game, the Colts had 2 sacks. So you're thinking great secondary play ultimately is also coupled with or grouped with defensive line, the D line of whatever team, this team specifically, the Indianapolis Colts, is grouped with them getting a lot of pressure, getting a lot of sacks, making sure the opposing quarterback is on his back the entire time. Well, one thing aiding the secondary is the D line, is the pressure, being able to rush for. And even though you look at the stats, oh, there's only 2 sacks in the game. Oh, that's all that's happened. The Colts, well, the Colts D line is not doing a good job. Quite the contrary. I'm using different phrases than normal, if you can't tell. Quite the contrary is not normally the way a phrase that I utilize, especially in the podcast that I host, the Jay Stevens podcast, the other podcast that I host. So I am learning as I go to use different phrases and just to expand my vocabulary. We will get through this train wreck together. Yes, I'm laughing at myself. I have to do that when I'm in my room, in a room, talking to myself into a microphone, discussing the team that we love. I have to somewhat entertain myself when those mistakes happen while I am behind the mic. But the Colts defensive line is doing a way better job than I believe advertises. If you look at the mainstream news outlets, Get Up or an ESPN or First Things First or FS1 or CBS Sports HQ, where they have shows all day long, 24/7 streaming of sports coverage of sports news, a lot of people are not going to discuss the play of the D-line or the play of the linebackers in coverage. And I believe all that is grouped together with the defense and how the secondary is playing. My one question, I will say the secondary is fixed because they're not at full strength. My one question is, when Rakyasin comes back, because we saw him get picked on early on in game one against the Jaguars. We saw him get picked on last year as a rookie. Will inserting him back into the lineup when he comes back healthy, will that be a help or a hindrance to the defense? So right now, I'll say yes, the defense is better. The defense is playing better than advertised. The secondary is a well-oiled machine. The secondary is communicating, even despite, almost like communicating, because Xavier Rhodes did mess up, and I believe there was communication before the play of where Xavier Rhodes was supposed to be, but he didn't heed the communication, and we saw what happened after that. So I do believe defense, the secondary right now, playing well, playing very, very well. Down the road, once we play against better quarterback competition, we'll see exactly more of what this defense and Colts secondary is truly made of. But I will say, my one hesitation with saying the Colts secondary is fixed, well, there's two. One, first quarter of the season, not buying into too much of what I'm saying, unless it's an injury. That's one thing you cannot erase. And then two, the Colts really aren't at full strength, and I really, really wonder how it's going to be when Rakyasin comes back and gets inserted and changes up the rotation of the secondary, primarily the cornerback room. Yes, you're going to be adding and aiding and helping and assisting and putting more firepower in the cornerback room of the Colts. However, doing that in the room is great. You can pass along the information, say, hey, this works against that player, this does not work, maybe we could do this to try to confuse said quarterback. However, once they're on the field, what goes into the room, what has entered their head in the quarterback room, and once you go over cornerback room, when you're back on the field, sometimes you forget the information that you have received, and the rest is history. I would look very, very closely down the road. Now, I understand you got Joe Burrow coming up, Baker Mayfield coming up. You know, down the road, you play Ben Roethlisberger, Lamar Jackson. I mean, better quality quarterbacks than what we have played so far this season. Keep your eyes on the secondary. This is going to be a vital part of this team to have long-term success in this season. Without them, if they start to falter and fall back and not play as well as they have, I do truly believe you can start seeing more L's on the win-loss column and the loss column of the win-loss bracket. And then also, that could be a hindrance to the Colts winning the division, which I believed before the season and still believe now that the Colts will win. Thank you so much for coming here again, the Full Press Colts podcast via the Full Press Coverage team. I'm glad you could join us once again. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Listen to the Full Press Colts podcast via Apple, Spotify, Full Press Coverage app, or wherever you listen to your fine podcast. Glad to be with you again today. Comeback Friday, offensive and defensive game plans for the upcoming game against the Chicago Bears. Until then, enjoy this time and ride high with this victory from this past Sunday. But at some point, we have to get over that hill and realize there's a game coming up on Sunday, because Sunday is coming and we can't wait to watch our team play again. Thank you.